Hello, everybody. Welcome to the recording session. Have a seat. Have a cup of tea. Have a glass of water. We're about to start. Hope you enjoy the collaborations. Hope you become familiar with the sounds and the intenseness of expression. Just sit back and relax. This is about getting up in the morning and feeling good with a new day and a new chance to create. Okay? So may the deserts have water. May the storms calm down. May the snows lighten up. May the babies laugh. And may your ears remain open. So, in poetry, in music, in knowledge, in peace, security, and longevity, come on and step into the time flow with us. Come on, let's go, let's go.
And you're listening to Saturday Morning Live, and this is Saturday, May 11th, and yeah, I'm back.
You're back.
I am back.
Back from, 6 weeks in the
Caribbean? Yes.
And how was it?
It was good. It was good. It was grounding. It was busy. It was crazy. For those of you who don't know, I was working on two productions in Trinidad. It was my first time in Trinidad. I was in Port of Spain. And it was a really good experience.
You only went to Port of Spain?
Hmm?
You went to Port of Spain all the time?
Yeah, I was there, but we went a little bit, around the country, on this film that we were doing was called Breakout, and it was about these two girls who break out of this home, and it's about their journey throughout Trinidad and what they have to, choose to survive, as young women in,
right.
Yes.
Did you go to San Fernando? Did you get that?
No, I wanted to. I wanted to go to San Fernando. I wasn't able to. It was just really too hectic. We were working on two films. The other film was called Hero, and it's sort of a bio documentary about the life of Ulrich Cross, who is a national hero of sorts that nobody really knows about. And he was in the RAF during World War II. He's a decorated veteran and one of the only probably Trinidadian, or one of the few Trinidadians who were in the RAF in World War II. And, and like a lot of, people coming from the colonies were fighting in the war. When they returned home, they ended up, being very instrumental in the anti-colonial struggle afterwards. So he was very instrumental in that sort of struggle. He was he was very instrumental in the independence in Ghana. He was a consultant for Nkrumah, and I believe he was involved in, the independence in Cameroon and Tanzania. Ulrich Cross.
Ulrich Cross. There was a Trinidadian, Chinese Trinidadian who was played a big, or was part of the Chinese Revolution from Trinidad. He went back to China and made a contribution.
Oh, really? What's his name?
I have it in my archives, but yeah. He was pretty well known, but I don't hear anybody talk about him right now. But we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. That was a trip, and then I went to visit family in Barbados, which is a total other sort of experience. And it was a little too short for me. I could have been there for another week, but I had to come back. And I'm back here in Toronto. Toronto.
All right. What do we have on tap for today?
We have a packed up show. So after Mamiya, we're going to, you know, play some music, I believe. Or no, we have a documentary.
Well, it's Glenn
no,
Ford.
No, Glenn Ford interview.
It's a Glenn Ford interview that I think was the first time he was on
Saturday Morning Live.
Saturday Morning Live, right. Right. It's kind of a historical piece. Then we have an interview with Herb Boyd.
Right.
Who was an author, activist, and from Detroit, Birmingham, Alabama, but he grew up in Detroit. He was in the Nation of Islam. He knew Malcolm.
And
he will talk about the mysterious death of Malcolm Shabazz, Malcolm X's grandson.
It's really, really kind of mysterious, especially in the context that he was just held and detained recently.
Well, I would like for you definitely to sit in on this interview because you probably have some questions. You never interviewed Herb, so.
Yeah.
And we have...
At 11 o'clock, we have
Amandla,
and we have two reports around South African Africa, and one specifically around Margaret Thatcher's actions towards Africa and her involvement in apartheid.
Right, and something on Chris Honey as well, right?
Mm-hmm, right. And then at 11:30 we'll have a report from Gerald, interviewed by Ome. And our special guest today is, she's an activist that I've known for a while. Her name is Zainab, and she wrote this book, and it was called, it's called Wielding the Force, the Science of Social Justice. And the book is basically about findings of how, compassion kind of paradigms around compassion and how our sort of, framework of capitalism is antithetical to that, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a discussion around that and her experience. Growing up, she was grew up in New York, and her sort of life as being, African American and also Cherokee. So we're going to talk about that. And yeah, I'm really excited, and we have a really good, I'm really happy to be back. It's a little bit chilly, I'm acclimatizing, but I'm really happy. I did miss you guys, so, and I was sorry that I wasn't able to, I was too busy to call in, but I'm here now, so I'm excited.
That's the most important thing.
Yes. So we're going to go to Mamiya, and then we're going to go to a Glenn Ford old historical interview. So this is Mamiya Abu-Jamal.
At the Commonwealth, he did push for sanctions.
Shocking, so unexpected that they cause us to pause and to question. How well do I know my neighbors? How well do I know anyone? We don't, of course. We see one's comings and goings, but Americans don't like meddling or mingling much. In earlier times, men said, a man's home is his castle. This principle reigned for decades. I suppose now some will say, a man's home is his dungeon. Huh. But I digress. Cleveland isn't as far from us as we'd like to admit, for a quiet scandal is simmering on the stove that may even make Cleveland look almost normal. I speak of the tens of thousands of cases, most of which go unreported, of women in the military who are raped by fellow soldiers, airmen, Marines, and their officers. Perhaps few such attacks are more of betrayal. Possibly that of a father or a daughter, but here, where young women enter with the illusion of camaraderie, they are betrayed by the so-called brothers in uniform. and then turned on by officers who resent their reporting of such attacks. We live in a rape culture. Who can deny that this country was born on the freedom of white men to rape African and Indian women on a whim? Indeed, for centuries, it wasn't a crime. Why should it surprise us that it's so deep in American male culture? Donald Matthews, a black clergyman and author of the book Honoring the Ancestors, coined the term rapitalistic to reflect the twin forces of rape and capitalism, to reflect the American drive to conquer and exploit all that it touched. Women, land, nature, non-whites. From Cleveland to Iraq isn't so far after all. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
This is Sarah Vaughan in Misty.
Look at me. Yeah. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. Feel like I'm clinging to a cloud I can't understand. I get misty just holding your hand. Oh, walk my way. In the thousand violins begin to play. Might be the sound of your hello, hello, that music I hear. I get misty the moment you're near. You can see that don't you notice how hopelessly I'm lost? That's who I'm following you.
Listening to Saturday Morning Live, and that was Sarah Vaughan, the greatest female vocalist, in my judgment, that ever did it. And we're getting ready to speak to the executive director, executive editor of the Black Agenda Report, Glenn Ford, who calls himself a certified elder of the Black Journalism Tribe. And I don't agree with that. I think he's a junior elder. And he is a has many historical firsts, mosts, and onlys. And he has a long career. He's the son of the famed disc jockey Rudy the Deuce Rutherford, who was the first Black man to host a non-gospel television show in the Deep South. We're talking about Columbus, Georgia, back in 1958. And Mr. Ford was reading copy at the age of 11. And his first full-time broadcast news job was at James Brown's Augusta, Georgia radio station, WRDW, in 1970, where Mr. Brown shortened Glenn's name to Ford. And, you know, Mr. Ford has an illustrious career, and his credits are so long, I'm not going to even go into them, but to say that he is the man behind the Black Agenda Report. And you can go to blackagendareport.com, and he was responsible for starting the Black Commentator, which a lot of people read. And we're basically here to inform people that Mr. Ford, his work should be read, and we're trying to popularize the Black Agenda Report. So how you doing, Mr. Glenn Ford? How are you?
Good afternoon, Norman. Good to be in your company.
Yeah, I've been trying to give you this interview for a long time, and finally we are on the air together. And I would like to basically say that I think that you are one of the foremost commentators that's really out here. And I think I'm going to try to make some sort of arrangements that we can put your commentaries on CKLN on a regular basis, because I think your voice should be heard. You are based in America. And I know that you consider yourself a, you know, revolutionary nationalist, but you're a very fierce internationalist at the same time, and an anti-imperialist. And I think your voice should be heard by people in this country.
Well, we need a lot more voices heard, especially here in the United States. There are a dwindling number of voices, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the Black Agenda Report. What exactly do you do, and how people can subscribe to the Black Agenda Report, and how did the Black Agenda Report come about?
Well, we formed blackcommentator.com in April of 2002. That was because of crying need. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what glaring holes there are in the African-American institutional armor. There are so many organs that are politically necessary that we don't have, that in some ways we are constantly crippled in one way or the other, not being able to express ourselves or think things out or disseminate information that is vital to each of us. Without going through other people's filters, the decision as to which project to do isn't one that requires a great deal of imagination. For example, back in 1977, we created the first black news interview program on commercial television. That was a no-brainer. We didn't have one. We didn't have a program that reached masses of people that set the tone of the tone and the subject of discussion every week, every Sunday, like the general media did with Meet the Press, Issues and Answers, and Face the Nation. So obviously somebody had to create it, and we did. In 2002, we did not have a political organ, progressive political black organ, that discussed the burning issues of the day, and so someone had to create it. So we created blackcommentator.com. By 2006, October, I and the rest of the editorial team moved over and decided that we needed to make a change of home, and we created blackagendareport.com to continue the work we had done at blackcommentator.com, only under new conditions.
Now, Gerald Horn said to say hello, and he also...
Oh, Gerald Horn, we go back a long way.
Well, he said, like, what? That's a Bloodstone song, we go a long way back, but he wanted you to discuss the global financial meltdown. He says that your analysis, he says you're the man to talk about that.
Wow. That's one of the situations that's a work in progress. We have some ideas about it. You want to talk about that now?
Could you give us a couple of minutes on it? You don't have to. You can give us the abridged edition, right?
It's a complicated subject, you know. Marx first talked about capitalism's absolute necessity.
Now, you're not talking, pardon me, you're not talking about Groucho, you're talking about Karl,
I'm
right?
I'm talking about Karl.
Okay.
The absolute necessity for capitalism in order to survive, to constantly pull in rising rates of profit. And he predicted, based upon years of sitting on his butt studying at the British Museum till he had carbuncles on his butt, but he convinced himself and wrote that, what are the ramifications of this? Where is this system going? How will the workers fare under a regime that demands constantly increasing rates of profit? And he showed that such a system would have constant crises of overproduction in the many ways that manifests itself, and that these contradictions would multiply and crash in upon themselves, and finally the system would have to collapse and the workers would take over. Well, of course, that did not happen, general wisdom today is that meant Marx was wrong. No, it didn't mean Marx was wrong. What it meant was that capitalism found ways to overcome its contradictions. Well, it can't overcome built-in contradictions, so what happened to them? But what happened was that capitalism exported its contradictions. In other words, the condition of European workers did not constantly deteriorate as the model indicated they would, because there were arenas in which the capitalists could continue to make their ever-increasing rates of profit without having to keep beating the workers, their own workers in Germany and England and elsewhere in the industrializing world, keep beating them down, extracting it constantly from them. Extracting constantly from them those ever-increasing rates of return. And, of course, the way they did that is through imperialism, colonialism. And so we have the Berlin Conference of the
1884, 85, yeah.
Right, in which the world was divided up, and that, of course, included Africa. African-Americans always just point to Africa, but actually the whole planet was divided up into areas of exploitation, so that at least a temporary truce could be called among the Europeans as they super-exploited these other parts of the world. And it was in those areas that they were able to obtain their ever-increasing rates of return. So we saw an exportation of the contradictions of capitalism, which gave them new life. In the United States, they didn't have to go on a colonial imperial binge, although they were at Berlin, because the American West had not been fully exploited.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, of course, in 1898, they go on their colonial binge in the war with Spain. So we see that capitalism was able to get a new life by exporting its contradictions, that the model had to be bigger than just industrialized Europe, which is what Marx was studying. But it didn't mean that the basic rules of its conduct were other than as Marx outlined. And then, of course, we have war. And war is the great game board, game board upsetter. When contradictions become too intense, when the rulers feel that they can no longer operate according to the rules as they are or as they were, then they upset the game board through war. And at the end of that war, and in fact in the course of the war, new opportunities for all these new profits are made possible. And at the end of the war, somebody's stuff can be taken, providing new opportunities. And so you have World War One, and then you have World War Two, which some people think of as a continuation of World War One. But then at the end of World War Two, we have a situation that the world had never seen, because all of the other industrial nations have been just about deindustrialized. World War II has destroyed much of the infrastructure of the industrial world, except for the United States. And the United States becomes the de facto hegemon of the planet, emerges in 1945 as an empire, whose currency, the dollar, becomes de facto the world currency, except for that island outside the U.S. sphere, the Soviet Union. This is a situation that humanity had never experienced. There had been a British Empire, a French Empire. They wielded great power, and especially Britain. But the pound had never been the world currency, as the dollar became. And that's just one expression of that hegemony. And so we see unprecedented.
And we're back. This is Saturday Morning Live.
And we're back. This is Saturday Morning Live. And that was Glenn Ford on his historical interview, his first time on Saturday Morning Live. Did you want to say anything about that, Norm?
No, that was some vintage Glenn Ford, and he has Black Agenda Television. I would like to alert people about that. And Black Agenda Report is, you know, all you got to do is go to Black Agenda, just Google Black Agenda Report, and it's free, and it's a lot of great information. And commentaries from Glenn Ford, Bruce Dixon, Nellie Bailey, and they have a very good team of people working together.